First hour, Ted Pike, and well, folks, just hang on after the break, because I scarcely believe this myself, but we trust, but we verify, and we use people that really do their homework. We're talking about an Office of Global Anti-Semitism. I think that's a grand idea. I guess you would need to do that if you've made 92 countries mad through recent history and you've been thrown out of them many times, twice. You run political organizations and you start a nation state against God's will, which is in your own teachings. Oh, that's right. You Kabbalists and Talmudists out there, you change the rules for yourselves. Great. Second hour coming up. A gentleman by the name of Lawrence Solomon and has written the book, The Deniers. And we're going to be talking in depth about world-renowned scientists who stood up against global warming hysteria, political persecution, and fraud. We're not going to make Mr. Gore very happy today. After all, didn't he get a Pulitzer Prize off of the manure that he's been shoveling around the planet Earth? And I guarantee you, folks, it'll be a very interesting program. So we will get into a little bit more of that after this first break. And I have a real problem here. I have a problem. Manny, can you help me? You know the little board that we have in there that has all the pins stuck in it for all the radio stations that are becoming affiliates to this network? Michael has run out of certain colors of pins. So that map is not even accurate. We've added more stations since I made the announcement last week that we added 11 in 2 weeks. Something is going on, folks. And please do not take this the wrong way, as did my little friend here that sent me the message of sending me a word of encouragement. I'm encouraged when the generally dumb public, which is the majority of these people in this country, start hearing the news, the trumpet of truth blowing on the wall. That's when I'm going to start being happier, because out of that, there is going to be some synergy and energy that we can work with to really start to change things. So we'll kick it off right after this break.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Bible is hate, says the U.S. government. Reverend Ted Pike, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
You're pretty good. Thanks for having me, John.
Well, you know, I've always kept this door open for you because I know you don't waste anybody's time. You're not a person that just is doing this to hear yourself talk. So any time that you call me and you say you have something to say, I immediately put you on air. And I got to tell you what, this is the most bombastic thing that I've seen in a long time. The Bible is hate, and this is the official U.S. government position now?
Yes, it is. Coming from the U.S. State Department, as many of our listeners probably are aware, back in 2004, the Congress voted overwhelmingly to set up a so-called Office of Global Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department. And in 2005, they issued their first preliminary report, about a 40-page report. But 3 years later, the Office of Global Anti-Semitism has now come up with another lengthy report. And in it, it really cuts to the chase in its anti-Christianity. It says the Christian belief, the New Testament belief, that the Jews 2,000 years ago had Jesus crucified is, quote-unquote, classical anti-Semitism, an historic form of hate. Now, they're really very, very clear now that the U.S. government, the State Department, is considering basically what Mel Gibson had to say in The Passion of Christ to be anti-Semitism. And, of course, that's a hate crime in many hate bureaucracies around the world, certainly in Canada. Even if you were to go out on the street corner, let alone the pulpits of Canada, and say that the Jews had Christ killed, that would be a hate crime, holding up the Jewish people to hatred and contempt. You could get a minimum of $5,000 fine for that, and you certainly would be under constraints never to say that that statement again, or you would be going to prison.
Well, Ted, what hate crime? What United States law did Congress pass about hate crimes, and what song sheet are they working off here?
Well, actually, as we learned this last year, we were able to very effectively defeat the big federal hate crimes bill. And, of course, that is the brainchild of the Anti-Defamation League of the Neighborhood. They're a Jewish activist organization, very anti-Christian, and they're very interested in establishing hate crimes laws in the United States, especially a federal hate crimes law like they started in Canada and in most European countries. And this Department of Global Anti-Semitism is another brainchild of the ADL. They have wormed their way into a very prestigious office, a new office in the U.S. State Department, and they have all of the prestige and trappings and pomp and ceremony of a federal office now in our government speaking for the United States government. That's why this statement that historic Christianity, Bible-believing, evangelical Christianity in regard to the Jews and the crucifixion is now anti-Semitism should be very, very troubling to millions of evangelical Christians in the world, because it puts a noose around them. It now says that they are basically anti-Semites and a potential hate criminal.
Ted, our rotund friend here in San Antonio, John Hagee, which I was channel surfing on the satellite looking for the propaganda, and I came across, and forgive me, I did not get the channel that it was on, but it was a celebration of Israel, and who was up front but none other than John Hagee. Now, here's part of the problem, that people, these TV evangelists like John Hagee, that have wrapped themselves around the myth that's been perpetrated, here's some of the problem. You know, millions of people should be upset. Millions of people are watching John Hagee. That as I identify as being one problem. Ted, if we can go down through history past here, how did we ever arrive? Where did these TV evangelists, and where does the belief system come from, Mr. Pike, that this Judeo-Christian thing, that we are now inseparable from Israel, where did this come from? Where is its roots, and why has it grown so much?
Well, actually, it goes back to probably four centuries to the time of Oliver Cromwell in England in the early 17th century, when Manasseh ben Israel, who was a Dutch Jewish Kabbalist, follower of the Kabbalah, came over and tried to buy the Bank of England, and he couldn't quite do that, but he floated a large loan to Cromwell to support him. And Cromwell received from Manasseh ben Israel words of admonition that those who bless Israel will be blessed by God, and those who curse Israel, meaning those who criticize Jews and matters Jewish, will be cursed by God. And back there, you see, that was the beginnings of the great Puritan movement in England, which led to many other separatist groups, Baptists and Presbyterians and all of these Calvinistic groups and so on, who came to America, and they kept this mentality, even very early in America's founding, that those who bless Israel will be in turn blessed by God. And but when we get to basically to the 20th century and the beginnings of the Zionist movement, the Zionist Jews were very very shrewd in promoting the idea among the evangelicals that if the evangelicals blessed Israel, promoted a national homeland for persecuted world Jewry, that America would in turn be very greatly blessed. And so this idea established itself in what is now about 40 million evangelicals, that you should never criticize Jews or Judaism, matters Jewish, or Zionism in Israel, because God, they are God's chosen people. They are the apple of his eye. And your criticism may be interpreted by God as cursing them, giving a pretext for anti-Semitism. And so you shouldn't even bring facts out about the Jews, which might be taken and twisted by anti-Semites and used to persecute the God's chosen people.
Well, and, you know, I would expect maybe maybe the Roman Catholic Church to set up an office with the State Department here in this country, because the Catholics have been criticized because of their, and I'll try to put this as kindly as I possibly can, Ted, their predatory priest, where they're preying on young boys. This has been going on for hundreds of years in the diocese of the Catholic Church. Now, I don't see the Vatican coming out with saying that, wait a minute here, we're receiving a lot of criticism here, and this is anti-hate. This might make somebody want to jump from the Catholic religion and maybe become a Buddhist or, you know, whatever. You know,
yes.
Ted, I am... How do we cast these demons out of the garden? How do we get rid of these characters?
Well, basically, this is one huge religious problem. And for that reason, as a minister and a theologian, I believe that in order to solve a religious problem, you have to have a religious argument against it. Now, the evangelicals are very, very immune to criticisms of Israel and facts and examples of Jewish persecution in Palestine against the Palestinians, atrocities going all the way back to 1939 and so on. In fact, I have an exhaustively documented argument article at truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers.org, which is my website, in which I chronicle all of these many atrocities in Israel. But this all passes over the evangelicals because they believe that Israel has an unconditional covenant with God to own and occupy Palestine, meaning that they don't have to obey God, they don't have to be righteous, they don't have to show mercy and kindness and justice to the inhabitants of the land as Moses commanded them, but God says they're in, they own the land, they can occupy it regardless of what they do. Now, my religious argument to counter a religious error says, oh no, the Old Testament, especially in the law, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you realize in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, more than 24 times, God says through Moses that if the Hebrews do not obey his commandments and walk in righteousness and justice and mercy, he's going to throw them out of the land, and they cannot ever return again until they are humble and righteous and just before God. And what I say is that one of the biggest secrets in evangelicalism today is that these powerful verses are there in the Old Testament saying that unrepentant, communist, atheistic Jews cannot come back into Palestine and enjoy covenant blessings in the kind of unbelief that they've demonstrated during the 20th century.
I am sitting here. You're familiar with Tex Mars, correct?
Oh, yeah, good friend of mine.
Okay. His latest Power of Prophecy, entitled Gog and Magog in the Scroll of Bush, he sends this to me, and I am just amazed. Mr. Bush made a special little trip over to Jerusalem this January, and it was on the 9th of January of 08. Numerically, if you translate that into occult numerology, guess what it is, Ted?
Let me guess, 666.
You got it, buddy. Now, he and the Israeli Prime Minister, Olmert, along with former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, were taken down into the earth inside, and I think this is Zedekiah's cave, for a clandestine ritual and black mass conducted by the Grand Master of Israel's Freemasonry.
Oh, my.
The same day, Bush visited Yad Vashem, Israel's version of a Holocaust museum, where he stayed exactly 90 minutes.
Oh, my.
And guess what that number translates into the occult? 666. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. We'll be right back with Reverend Ted Pike. Ted, it gets even worse here. They presented Mr. Bush with a scroll. And the scroll of Bush identifying the U.S. president as the esteemed Mr. George W. Bush, the chief prince of, and I do believe the pronunciation of this is Meshech and Tubal. Now, he goes on to address him, the Honorable Mr. George Bush, President of the United States of America. Then, however, in the most shocking and prophetic manner, the scroll of Bush, a document representing the entire Jewish nation, both in Israel and the ones that are dispersed, which God did. And keep something in mind, folks. If you go to the Torah-believing Jews and you check this out, they will be the first to tell you that we are not to have our own nation state, our own homeland, until God sends us his Messiah. Now, somehow, through the Talmudic beliefs and the Kabbalist beliefs system, they've trashed all that.
Yeah.
And, well, they've got their own nation state, and they're terrorizing everybody, and they've got 400 nuclear weapons, and they're one of the biggest threats on this planet. But aside from that fact, the document composed by and authenticated by the highest religious rabbis on the planet. Now, who signed onto this thing was Rabbi Adin Steinholtz.
Yeah,
he's the high priest of the Sanhedrin.
Yes, he's the world-renowned Kabbalist. He's the greatest authority in the world on the Kabbalah, and he's also a head of the commission to reinstitute the Sanhedrin and leading to the rebuilding of the Jewish temple.
Also, Rabbi Chaim, let me get that right, Chaim Reichman, chief rabbi of the Holy Temple, and Dr. Gadi Shell, the chief representative of the new Jewish Congress. Now, this gets a little weird here because what they're saying here is that there's no doubt that President Bush knows exactly why he holds the satanic title of Gog of the land of Magog, also known as chief prince, as I said, the Meshach and the Tubal, the leader of the West. Now, if you go into the Bible and read Ezekiel 31:8, you will find out what the leader of the West is. Now, Ted, there's a little problem here. Some of the problems I see with this, and I am not, and I don't think you are either, Ted. I mean, people on this planet can go to hell of their own accord. It is people like yourself and other fine folks out there that try to bring the message to people, and they can accept it or reject it, and that is fine. You know, we are the only job that we have is leading the proverbial horse to water. If they want to drink, fine. If they're not thirsty, you can't force them to drink. But I see something happening here that we don't have an acceptance of this Talmudic or Kabbalistic view, that we are to believe that we are being anti-Semitic when a majority of these people don't have one drop of Semitic blood running in their veins and never have, or dealing with a group or a sect of people that have made so many people angry on this planet, they've been basically been thrown out of every country they've ever been in.
Mm.
Now, there's something very, very wrong here. But what is really spectacular about this, and even the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in this land, had declared, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, that this is a Christian nation, then how does the government of the United States come out with this whiz-bangy idea here that they are part of the Office of Global Anti-Semitism? Ted?
Yes?
What screws are loose and where are they?
Well, we've seen in the last three or four administrations in the White House, to say the least, a massive infusion of Israel-first dual-loyalty Jews, and certainly our good friend Michael Collins Piper has documented all that in several of his books, The New Jerusalem and others. And what's happening here is that the White House has been taken over with the blessing of 40 million evangelicals in America to let a horde of basically anti-Christian Jews come in there, goad us into wars in the Middle East in defense of Israel to save Israel from resistance by the Arab hordes, and we are gladly sending our sons and daughters as Christians over there to die for Israel, to make the Middle East safe for Israel. It's only getting worse, but one of the things that bothers me is that the menorah, the symbol of Judaism, is now being preferred by the White House during Christmas time and Hanukkah rather than Christians. And it's considered out of fashion now to have a cross or even a Christmas tree in the White House, but the main feature is photo ops with the Jewish rabbis and culinary kosher experts standing with Mr. and Mrs. Bush as the food is being prepared for Hanukkah in the White House. The menorah is prominently displayed, and the Christmas tree is out of fashion. We're being Judaized, in other words. And back in the New Testament, the early Christians were very aware of the danger of the Jews, the Sanhedrin Pharisaic Jews, getting into Christianity and beginning to bring the legalisms and the symbols and the observances of Judaism back into Christianity and thus destroying it. That's exactly what's going on today as false prophets like John Hagee and others are inviting the very worst ADL B'nai-B'rith Jews into their organizations. In fact, John Hagee has David Brock, the head of Christians United for Israel.
I have shaken hands with John Hagee, and I've looked in his eyes. I don't see a soul there, my friend. We'll be right back. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And they're giving him scrolls over there. The Sanhedrin's giving him scrolls. Ted, I am just simply amazed that we have, and we've used, and we've created an industry. Let me put it in terms such as that. There has been an industry created around the suffrage of Jews. And Ted, what have they been doing throughout the centuries to make so many enemies on this planet that governments want to throw them out of their respective states?
Well, what happened was that it is true that back in the Old Testament, God required the Hebrews to actually wage war against the inhabitants of the land because these inhabitants of Canaan, about 1500 B.C., were incredibly evil and perverse. It was a cesspool of every imaginable vice and iniquity, including a child sacrifice, homosexuality, sex with animals, and all that kind of thing in Canaan. And God knew that his experiment with the Hebrew people, which was necessary to lead to the incarnation of Jesus Christ, would not survive. If these wicked Canaanites were allowed to continue to inhabit the land and influence the Hebrews into idolatry and those very practices. But what happened was that, you see, this was not racism at that time. This was anti-idolatry. This was the scorched earth policy which people like Joshua and Caleb and so on visited against the Canaanites was in order to bring a purity and holiness and truth in one nation as a kind of a landing pad that Jesus Christ could eventually come to 1,500 years later. It was not racistic against the Gentiles. But what happened was in the centuries before Christ, when the Jews, that is the southern kingdom of Judah, had been taken into Babylonian captivity, a new class of scribes and priests arose called the scribes or Pharisees. And these Pharisees believed that they had a new revision of the old Hebrew religion in which the Jewish people literally were divine. They were spiritually and even physically and intellectually superior to the Goyim or the Gentile nations. And this oral tradition or the tradition of the scribes and Pharisees got root in Palestine when Jesus was there, and in Christ, when he confronted it, he violently attacked this tradition, this oral law, this Talmudic tradition of the Pharisees, which he said had made the law of God of none effect. And what happened, though, was that having denounced the Pharisees, they were determined to kill him. They succeeded in having him crucified. And then in the century after the Jewish nation was was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD and then finally dispersed to the nations, these very same Pharisees, many of them returning to Babylon from Palestine, they wrote down this oral law, this oral tradition, into what is now called the Great Babylonian Talmud. And the Talmud is full of hatred of Gentiles, hatred of Jesus Christ, hatred of Christians, everything having to do with Christianity. And also, it and the Jewish Kabbalah or Zohar are full of a revolutionary idea that it's necessary to subvert the nations and destroy all aspects of Christianity, capitalism, and civilization in order that a new Jewish world order might be made possible throughout the entire world. And unfortunately, we are literally in the foundational stages of seeing that kind of a Zionist, Pharisaic new world order being established on this planet.
And Ted, I have heard the backlash, and I'm sure as well as you, that when we say that this international cabal that got the idea that they wanted world government, and what is the best way, you know, not by army or an invasion, because you will be repelled. You can't occupy, because occupation of countries don't work well.
No.
And what was the way that they decided to do it? Well, they figured out that if we create a system of money, phony money it is, just as well as the Talmudic teachings are, but let's create the phony money, let's control the nations of earth, let's control their economic lifeblood.
Yes.
And when that started hitting the circuit, boy, I'll tell you what, I heard a lot of blowback. See, you people are anti-Semitic.
Yes.
This is, Ted, we cannot stress this strongly enough, that one of their blocks, their major building blocks for their new world order is through the banking, and yes, it was started by Jews.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what you said, I mean, they hate Jesus Christ. They hate and despise him and brand him as an illegitimate bastard and a blasphemer in their Judaic Holy Land.
Yes.
The Talmud, Jesus himself said this, said their Lord is in fact the devil.
Yes.
So what does our rotund friend, our round man of renown down in San Antonio, how does this man justify wrapping himself up in the Talmudists and the Kabbalists?
Yeah, well, he's a total opportunist, and unfortunately he has a staggering listening audience, a viewing audience. He's in very closely with the Trinity Broadcasting Network down in Los Angeles, which has I think they have some 10,000 TV stations internationally, and a huge satellite broadcasting TV network around the world. It's a Pentecostal network. You know, it raises something like $50 million every, I think it's three times a year, in order to so-called proclaim the gospel. Actually, what they really proclaim is what's called ancient simony, the idea that if you give money to the church, God is going to bless you exorbitantly in your finances and personal wealth and so on. So it's a heresy in itself, and John Hagee is a heretic, an absolute opportunist. He has received numerous awards from ADL, from the Neighborhood, for his support of Jewish causes. And as many people are aware, he gives millions and millions of dollars, raises millions for Israel every year. He also forbids the use of Jesus' name in his mass meetings around the country. That's Christians United for Israel. And he says there will be no attempts to witness to Jews, use the name of Jesus in prayer. It's non-conversionary. He is a total heretic. He's going to pay for eternity for his great sins.
This Gog, the land of Magog, as I said, known as the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and the leader of the West, is George Bush is recognized as being the leader of the West. And as these rabbis put it, shall be incarcerated and possessed by Satan himself in the last days. The scriptures say he, as chief prince, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's Revelation 27 and 8.
Uh-huh.
Have these people that are following the John Hagee ministry and these other TV evangelists, and I have seen what's on TBN, and it makes me want to puke. It looks like a front for a whorehouse.
Yes, it does.
I mean, they sit there in their little mini thrones with their kofir blue hair and just droning on about Jesus, but yet they're wrapping themselves and deceiving the Christians and bringing them right into that fold, Ted. It makes me want to puke.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read Tex's article yet that you're talking about, but it seems that these Kabbalistic rabbis in Jerusalem are getting pretty close to wanting to establish some kind of a covenant with an Antichrist figure. And I don't believe George Bush is the Antichrist because the...
They need somebody smarter than him.
Yeah, Ezekiel does say that the prince of Gog and Magog comes from the north country, from Russia. I believe he will be probably a Khazar Jew from Russia. And Israel will make a marriage alliance. See, what we're talking about here is Israel today, Zionism today, Talmudic Judaism is basically the whore of Babylon, as recounted in the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation. Israel was the first nation, the first people to enter into a spiritual marriage covenant with God. And that's recounted very clearly in Ezekiel 16, but the prophet goes on to say how Israel prostituted that relationship. And in more than 80 instances, Israel is specifically described, that is, rebellious Israel, is described in the Old Testament as a whore, a lewd woman, a spiritual prostitute, and probably twice that many times she's referred to indirectly. And so you see, Israel was the first to have spiritual relations with God. And when they were obedient, that was wonderful under Joshua and Caleb and so on. But when they prostituted themselves and went into idolatry and unfaithfulness, they became the mother of harlots, the mother of spiritual prostitution in the world. And there have been successive church systems and so on who are spiritual harlots even today, but none of them can claim this distinctive title as the mother of harlots and abominations of the world. So if we fast forward to the present, we find confirmation that Israel, not the Roman Catholic Church or the papacy, but Israel has now spread across the world in its influence, totally dominating Hollywood, the media, and as you say, the Federal Reserve and the White House and war-making potential of the Bush administration, and dominating evangelical thinking, even brainwashing evangelicals. This is the great harlot of Revelation, which is prophesied to corrupt the nation and ultimately to persecute all Christians. And that's why we see these hate crimes laws being promoted by ADL, the NABARIF, as they're establishing hate crimes bureaucracies around the world. This is a foundation for legal, organized persecution of Christianity. And the Bible says, Revelation says, that eventually Israel will become red and dripping with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And these foolish evangelicals, you see, are building up the walls of Babylon the Great. But eventually, and actually very soon, even perhaps as we speak, we are seeing these very Jews, which are promoted and exalted by evangelicals, turning in fury and anger on Christians in Canada and Australia and other places, beginning persecution. We certainly saw that back in 2004 when 11 Christians were arrested for the hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals in Philadelphia.
I remember.
And it was no accident that Lynn Abraham, who is a National Executive Board member of the ADL, authorized that attack on those Christians.
Lynn Abraham, and is she with the District Attorney's Office in Philadelphia?
She is still the District Attorney of the City of Philadelphia.
Ted, you're not going to believe this. We got a call this morning from the District Attorney's Office in Philadelphia. and the person would not identify their last name. They wanted to know specifics about a particular talk show host on this network. When they are asked for their last name and the phone number that I could contact them back, they said it was privileged information.
Oh, my.
They wanted my home phone number, my private number.
Uh-huh.
They wanted my address. They wanted to know who I was.
Yes.
Boy, doesn't it come around. Well, decades ago, folks, decades ago, George Bush Sr., and you may or may not have heard this story, lay naked in a coffin inside the bowels of the tomb, the macabre mausoleum residence of the Order of Skull and Bones, located next to the Old Town Cemetery in New Haven, Connecticut. His fellows performed a hellish death ritual and raised George from his sarcophagus. They gave him, as they do all new initiates, a name. Hence more, George Herbert Walker Bush would be secretly known as the Brotherhood of Magog. Now, on a mission from his infernal lord, Lucifer, comes George W. Bush, son of the bonesman named Magog, to Jerusalem, Israel. There, the chief religious officials, including, as we stated earlier, the high priest of the reconvened Sanhedrin, the same devilish body that so long ago commanded that Jesus our Lord be tortured and crucified on a primitive wooden cross, recognized and honored Mr. Bush as Gog of the land of Magog. Now, Ted, there are some people in this country, as once explained to me, and this is a good example, that I was once told by a person that used to run one of the biggest shortwave radio stations in this country, that we were sitting down at a table and we were negotiating. And I, as I always do, I'm for forthrightness, put it all on the table, let's examine it, let's talk about it. The first thing out of this man's mouth was, oh, we're going to be telling the truth here? And I looked at him with an incredulous look on my face, evidently, and I says, is there any other way to conduct business? And he says, well, save for the fact that there are several different layers of truth. And I rejected that thought outright at first, but then I began to understand what he had meant. To each person, according to their understanding, you may have, Ted Pike, if you had the opportunity for 1 hour to address all the Christians living inside the United States right now, they would probably try to stone you. They would probably call you some sort of anti-Semitic cheerleader and that you're out to kill all the Jews.
Sure.
But this is the problem. According to their level of understanding, they will reject the truth outright because they do not want to know and they will never know. And this is part of the problem that I see here with the Christians. Where are all these so-called good Christian people, the purveyors of the Lord's word, of God's word? Where is their ire? Where is their anger? Where is the truth pouring from the pulpits in this country? Mr. Pike, it is non-existent.
Right.
It is non-existent. And I hope they're just not front people. I hope they're just not scam artists. I hope they're not just out there selling Jesus and passing the collection plate for a way to make a living. And I hope they do believe in a heaven and a hell, because they are certainly headed for it. They are certainly going to go there. I'll take one call after the break. And Ted, I appreciate you coming up. I always have a good time with you because you've got the glasses on and you can see.
Thanks so much, John.
All right, we'll take this break. We'll be right back. You know, if you're an avid student of history, ladies and gentlemen, we have had past presidents in this country. One being, it was Abraham Lincoln, was it? Why is it that every politician, before they set out to slaughter, they always start quoting Abe Lincoln? Well, it wasn't Abraham Lincoln. It was Abraham Springsteen. Most people, when they think of Franklin Delano, and he really was a card-carrying communist, folks, and his lesbian wife, Eleanor, sorry to burst any bubbles out there, now do you start to understand why Hillary Clinton thinks one of her heroes was Eleanor Roosevelt? But Ted, it wasn't even Roosevelt. It was Rosenvelt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell people that, they just look at you like, well, that can't be true. That cannot be true. The biggest purveyor of the communistic idea of spread the wealth, don't be able to keep what you earn, that you have to be socialized, the New Deal, folks, just on the heels after the engineering of the takeover of this country's economy, and you've seen what they have done with this. And Ted, I am of the very strong opinion, and you'd have to offer me absolutely 100% concrete evidence to the contrary, that these very same Talmudic, Kabbalistic animals are set to destroy this country economically. Just take a look at the banking system. You think all of this is just an accident? Do you think that most of this has been just not enough regulation or oversight? No. In order to bring about their global governance scheme, they have to destroy this country. And I have said this throughout the years. They're not going to do it with atomic weapons or biological bombs or anything else. They are going to do it economically, and they are doing exactly that. Tony in Florida, we only have a couple minutes. Hello, Tony.
Okay. Yeah, this question is for Reverend Pike.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend, there's a talk show host on this network. His name is Rick Adams. A few evenings ago, he made a passing comment about the sect of Chabad Lubavitch, which I'm sure you heard of. It's a Jewish supremacist, you know, sect, playing some type of special role in the establishment of the New World Order and its headquarters in Jerusalem. Do you know any?
Yes, I'm familiar with the Lubavitchers, and they are basically a Kabbalistic fundamentalist sect of Talmudic Judaism. They believe in the Talmud, but they also believe even more in the Zohar or Kabbalah, which is vehemently anti-Christian, anti-Gentile, and has a revolutionary agenda leading to the overthrow of the Gentiles and establishment of the Jewish Messiah in Jerusalem. And the Lubavitchers are also very wealthy, and they contribute very greatly, especially to the very far right in Israel today, the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox, many of whom are settlers on the front lines moving out in these illegal settlements into the West Bank and Gaza and so on.
Yeah, now the reason I'm asking is, you know, I've seen pictures of their Rebbes, with Reagan, you know, in the White House. I'm sure you've seen those pictures.
Uh-huh.
With Bush. A matter of fact, their number one Rebbe, his name is Menachem Schneerson. Have
sure.
you heard of this guy?
Of course.
He received the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yes.
So, I mean, it seems like these guys are really powerful.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to slow down until people in this country reject this outright. I mean, it has to happen, and the truth must come forth. Reverend Ted Pike, as always, I am very pleased to have you on this program, and thanks for coming on in short order. But as I've always said to you, you call me, you're on the air, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.